So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 2, chapter number 10, Bhagavatam, the answer to all questions. Text number 29.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Aditsoranaspananam.
Aditsoranaspananam.
Asankukshantanadaya.
Asankukshantanadaya.
Samudraschatayos,
Samudraschatayos,
Tushti Putishtarashrayai,
Tushti Putishtarashrayai,
Aditso,
Aditso,
desiring to have,
desiring to have,
Anapananam,
Anapananam,
of food and drink,
of food and drink,
Asan.
Asana.
There became,
Kukshi,
the abdomen,
Antra,
the intestines,
Nadaya,
and the arteries, Nadya,
the rivers,
Samudra, seas, Cha,
also,
Chayo, of them,
Tushti,
sustenance,
Pushti,
metabolism,
Tat,
of them,
Ashraye,
the source. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When there was a desire to have food and drink, the abdomen and the intestines, and also the arteries became manifested. The rivers and seas are the source of their sustenance and metabolism. Purport. The controlling deities of the intestines are the rivers, and those of the arteries, the seas. Fulfillment of the belly with food and drink is the cause of sustenance. And the metabolism of the food and drink replaces the waste of the bodily energies. Therefore, the body's health is dependent on healthy actions of the intestines and the arteries. The rivers and the seas, being the controlling deities of the two, keep the intestines and the arteries in healthy order.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagala Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi
Pashchatyadeshatarine.
And we think we're independent. Just see the foolishness. We're dependent at every step. Just like two verses ago, just to pass stool, we depend on Mitra, the controlling deity. Everything is being controlled. And we foolishly think, yes, we are scientists. We will conquer everything. We will control everything. They can't even control their bowel movements. And they think that they control the whole universe. Is it? This is the insanity of modern day humanity. You understand? So you can be a part of the madness, or you can refuse to be a part of the madness. One songwriter, he said, scientific delirium madness. It's a popular song back in the 60s. Even then people were starting to wake up and realize, what is this nonsense going on here? So, how do we come out of the madness? Prabhupada sometimes says, and we're still thinking that the scientists will solve the problem. Even we devotees, sometimes we think, yes, technology. How do we come out of this artificial dependence on the material nature, thinking it can solve all the problems? This we have to, this art we must master. Thinking that this material nature can satisfy us. You see, we have to come out of this psychotic condition of thinking the material nature can satisfy us. Of course, there is satisfaction. But how much? A drop of water in the desert. That's it. If you are dying of thirst in the desert, and I bring an eyedropper, I say, stick out your tongue, and I put one drop of water in your tongue. Have I helped you? I've tortured you. Actually, I've tortured you. So, why should we agree to be tortured by running after this material happiness? We're foolishly punishing ourselves by doing that. Foolishly punishing ourselves to go after this material sense gratification. It's death. We're embracing death. Yes, my dear, death. Sense gratification means death. And I'm saying, yes, I love you, death. An intelligent person does not go after this temporary, this asat ananda. He goes after nityananda. He's not interested in this asat ananda, this temporary so-called happiness of sex pleasure, tongue pleasure. He's not interested in it. He's interested in Nityananda, eternal bliss. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kripa Balokana Kora Ami Vododuki. My dear Lord Nityananda, I see that you're always happy and full of transcendental bliss. But here I am, sense gratifier, just suffering like anything in this material world, running after this temporary so-called happiness. A pitiful condition I am in, my dear Lord Nityananda. Therefore, please cast your glance of mercy upon me so that I can achieve some genuine happiness. You see? And this way Narottam is praying. Does he need to pray like that? No. Do we need to pray like that?
Yes.
He's showing us by example how we should pray. You see? Here I am suffering. I'm a slave of my senses. I'm being tortured by my senses, but still I go on serving them as a complete foolish idiot, number one, rascal. I go on serving my senses day in and day out, being tortured but continuing to serve them. Therefore, my dear Lord Nityananda, you please save me. Bring me to the genuine platform of sanity. Krishna consciousness system needs to become sane, that's all. Do you want to be insane or you want to be sane? It simply means to become a sane person. That's all it means to become Krishna conscious. Become sane. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a fool. Don't be a complete basket case. Running around like a dog chasing his tail. Is it? Does a dog get anywhere by chasing his tail? He never catches it. You ever seen a dog do that? He never catches his tail. So you may try to become happy by running after sense gratification, but it is the will of the wisp. It's like it's a mirage in the swamp. You can never achieve it. You can never achieve any real happiness by going after sense gratification. Forget it. Just forget it. You can never achieve it. It's impossible. Why? Because it's not you. You're not that body. If you go to the Sunday feast and there's a nice cup of sweet rice there, will you stick your chatter in the sweet rice and think you will enjoy it by sticking your chatter in it? No, you put it in your mouth. Isn't it? Do you ever go to the Sunday feast and stick your chatter in the sweet rice? No, of course not. Only an idiot would do such a thing. Some ridiculous imbecile would do such a thing, you see. Put his chatter in the sweet rice. That's what we're doing with sense gratification, because this body is not us. Why are you trying to be happy by gratifying the senses? This is the challenge the acharyas are making to us, fools and rascals here in this material world. Why are you trying to be happy by gratifying your senses? It's not you. It's just a covering of the self. It's just your chatter. Why don't you put the sweet rice in your mouth? Why don't you connect with Krishna? The reservoir of unlimited pleasure. How much pleasure you get from gratifying your genitals. How much pleasure you get from gratifying your tongue. How much pleasure you get from gratifying your false ego. That yes, now I am Paramahamsa Prabhu, didn't you notice? You see? How much pleasure you can get from this nonsense sense gratification. Absolutely none. There's no pleasure. So instead of running after this ridiculous, you know, mirage in the desert, we should come to the real platform of Krishna consciousness. Go for the oasis. This material world is a desert, there's no doubt, but why are we running after the mirage? We should be going for the oasis. The oasis is here, the Krishna consciousness movement. These regulated principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, this is the oasis. Why run after the mirage? It's crazy. It's absolutely insane to run after the mirage when you're in a nice oasis. Why should you run to the hamburgers, the prostitutes, the liquor, the cigarettes, all these, the cinemas, the sporting events? Why should you, all these nonsense concerts, why we should run after all this garbage? The television, the radio, all this garbage out there. Internet full of garbage. Why we should run after all this garbage when the sweetest nectar is right there every minute? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Do you have to go far to be in Vrindavan? No. Vrindavan is there immediately. Krishna. This is like in that movie, The Wizard of Oz, when we were children. It was a very popular movie. Actually, my parents, when they were children, it was a popular movie. But they showed it to us, this movie called The Wizard of Oz. And this girl named Dorothy, she found herself in this strange land called the Land of Oz, and she wanted to get back to her home in Kansas, USA. So she wanted to get back, so she went to meet the wizard. And the wizard turned out to be a con man. He didn't have any powers at all, but he was making a big show. But then she was told, all you have to do is chant this mantra, there's no place like home, and click your heels together. And then she, immediately she was back in her home, you see. So we don't have to go through all these endeavors of becoming a big karmi, a big jnani, a big yogi. All you have to do is, you know, put those hands on the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Chant with love, chant with feeling, chant carefully and sincerely, and lo and behold, you're entering into Goloka Vrindavan. You see, you don't need sense gratification except for whatever is required for health. You don't need this nonsense breaking the regulated principles. You don't need it. All you need is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So now there's some questions. Any question? Yeah. There's some papers floating around. If you have a question, write it down and pass it up. How Krishna consciousness could play an important role in reducing sustainability problem? Could you please explain in detail? Actually, there's no problem with sustainability. But because we are exploiting instead of serving, artificially we have created a sustainability problem. The earth can, Prabhupada explains, the earth can easily maintain 10 times the present world population. There is no sustainability problem. But we have manufactured it by our exploitation of the material nature. Gandhiji, he very wisely said, there's enough for everybody's need, but not enough for everybody's greed. So that's the fact, you see. If we would simply utilize everything that's here right now in the service of Krishna and not abuse it by using it for sense gratification, immediately there's no sustainability problem. When we start abusing the gifts of God, what does Mother Nature do? She withholds this, the necessities. The rain is held back. And gradually this whole planet will become a desert. You see, that we're moving towards heavy scarcity of water on this planet everywhere. Now in California, they're making big, very expensive facilities for turning ocean water into fresh water because they understand water is going to be a problem. And by doing so, actually, they're polluting the ocean because they take all what's called the brine, which is left over after they desalinate the ocean water, they dump it back in the ocean, it pollutes the ocean. So all their attempts to enjoy sense gratification, what we're doing is turning this planet into a toxic waste dump eventually, you see, because we're abusing everything by using it for sense gratification. The political leaders cannot solve the problems. Anybody who is in a chaotic condition within their heart can do nothing but create more chaos on this planet. The only persons who can bring order to this planet are those persons who are in calamity, living in harmony with Krishna or God. They are the only persons who can actually lead us properly. Anybody who's not in harmony with Krishna or God, they should immediately give up their leadership position or they should harmonize their position with Krishna. You see.
We are calling on all the world leaders to either shape up or ship out. Become Krishna conscious or give up your position. The presidents, the prime ministers, the senators, the congressmen, the judges, the business leaders, the educators, we're calling on all of them, give up your, come to Krishna consciousness or pure love of God according to your own faith, that's all right, or give up your position. We don't want people leading us into ever increasingly chaotic conditions, and that's our present slate of leaders.
Could you please pray for my brother?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. May he come a pure body.
Do the living entities exist before the material creations? Yes. While the living entities are put into the material universe, which are full of miseries and temporary, we put ourselves here. It's like the criminal is saying, why did you put me in the prison? Well, you put yourself in the prison, sir, by being a criminal. You put yourself in the prison. Don't blame the government. This rascal government, they put me in prison. Now, you are the rascal because you didn't follow the laws. Therefore, you put yourself in the prison. What is the aim of human life? To become Krishna conscious. Is it good for devotees to have some sporting activities to maintain good health? I recommend sports for everyone. The supreme sport. Everyone should be fully absorbed in sports. And here's the sport I'm talking about. What does sports mean? Ball games, right? Who controls the ball? It's like I remember in high school, the football games. We'd have a chant, you know, get that ball, get that ball. That was the mantra we would chant. Get that ball, get that ball, get that ball. So sports generally means a ball game. Basketball, baseball, football, soccer, tennis, you know, generally it's a ball game. So what the sport that we should all be playing 24 hours a day, you see, that is the big ball game. What is the big ball? Well, you're sitting on it right now. It's called the earth. And right now there's two teams, the Suras and the Asuras. And right now the Asuras have got control of the ball, so our ball game is to get that ball, get that ball, get that ball, get that birth, that earth planet back under the control of Vedic culture. So you want to do sporting? Go out and distribute books. Go on Harinam, distribute Prashadam. Have a first class temple here. You do this sport. Don't waste your time with football, baseball, soccer. Prabhupada said it's breaking the regulated principles. It's the gambling and no frivolous sports. These activities are breaking the regulated principles. Initiated devotees should not be running after them. You see, as children, children may do these things, but when you grow up, you know, these are for kids. When I was little kids, maybe we played with marbles also. Do you still play with marbles? You know, it's time to grow up, become mature, play. Go to the higher level sport of saving this world from degradation. Why are you wasting your time playing baseball when you can be out distributing books? You're being selfish. You're being greedy. You're being a rascal by playing soccer instead of going out on Harinam Sankirtan. You'll get plenty of exercise on Harinam Sankirtan. You don't need to go play soccer for exercise. You can go on Harinam Sankirtan for exercise. If I offended you, I'm sorry, but I have to tell the truth. Prabhupada, I'm following, this is what Prabhupada said. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you the truth. Too many devotees are wasting their time with these nonsense sporting activities. Even one temple organized a game, and the temple president died during that sporting event. He had a heart attack. I think it was a soccer game. And the temple president died right in the middle of the game. As a grihastha, how do I balance the material and spiritual life? Vidyavanaya sampane brahmanasi vidyam cha vidyam yashtadvilvayam saha. You balance it perfectly by engaging your material life fully in the service of Krishna. That's how you balance it perfectly.
How can a person know that he is running after the mirage? Well, I'll tell you right now, you are. We are. If you wonder, am I? Yes, we all are. We're not Paramahamsas, okay? We're not there yet. We're running after the mirage, all of us, you see. So we have to realize, I'm not a Paramahamsa, I'm running after the mirage. I got to somehow, you know, learn how to develop a taste for glorifying Krishna 24 hours a day. How to go beyond karma, feeling some bad karma, chasing. Well, by surrender, you want to get free from karma? Fully surrender to Krishna. It's a simple thing. I am on a prasadam diet. Jai, very good. For a few months and want to be on it forever. Jai, Hari Bol. However, my parents are non-vegetarians. When I go back to them, I cook at their home and offer the food to Krishna and then have prasadam. That's wonderful. You're purifying your parents. That's great. Very good. How do we define Krishna consciousness? Yes, that is the skip. The term Krishna consciousness comes from a Sanskrit verse by Rupa Goswami. You want to know the definition of Krishna consciousness, then you have to study the Sanskrit term Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. That's the Sanskrit version. The original term is Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. So Krishna, we know what that means. Bhakti, we know what that means. Rasa means taste. And Bhavita means be absorbed. To be absorbed in the mellow or the taste of executing devotional service to Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. How to develop humility? Offer all respect to others without demanding anything for yourself. How to do devotional service effectively? Well, I wish I had more time. But I'll try to squeeze it in here. I got so many questions and I only got 10 minutes and there's a rule here. There's a hard and fast rule here called 8:30 cutoff, is it? Is it 8:30? Yeah. Today's Sunday? No, today's Saturday. We had an extra half an hour on Sunday. I don't have time to answer this question fully. I only have eight minutes now. So I'll just give you an abbreviated answer. Rupa Goswami says, Adalgara Shvayam. The first step is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. We have so many wonderful gurus in our ISKCON movement. You have to take shelter of a spiritual master and dedicate your life to him. That's how you'll be effective. When the impersonalists merge into the Brahma Jyoti, are they in between the space between the Vaikuntha planets? That's an interesting question. Yes, you could say that. They're floating there in the spiritual sky. How do I surrender to Krishna completely? Well, again, Adalgara Shvayam. You have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. 8:45. Wow, we've gotten some mercy from the demigods. The temple demigods. Kijai, thank you. 15 minutes. All right. Can you please tell your faith on Prabhupada? How do you increase every day? Well, I understand that I am a complete nonsense rascal, sense gratifier, demon, whatever bad thing you want. I understand that I'm every bad thing you could ever say about anybody. It's all here. I got all the. I just fall down at Prabhupada's feet and just beg him to save me. And so, I just, please save me, Prabhupada. I'm a complete useless nonsense rascal. Please save me. Even Prabhupada, he said, save me. In his poem to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, save me, a fallen, your divine grace. So if Prabhupada is presenting himself as a fallen soul before his spiritual master, what am I supposed to think? Yeah, I'm Paramahamsa. No. I have to think, Prabhupada, I'm a complete fallen rascal, please save me. That's how you do it. You have to always be humble before your spiritual master and think yourself very, very fallen. Because we are. That's the reality. We are very fallen. If you break your promise, what Krishna will do? Krishna will give you, if you rectify yourself, Krishna will forgive you and see you as a saint. You have to, you may break your vow, but now you have to, you can't break it again. You have to be, you have to control yourself and stop breaking the principles. Who was the controller of the false ego, Lord Shiva or Lord Sankarshan? I don't remember what's stated in the scripture. I can't recall that. I know it's written somewhere. I'm sorry, I don't remember that particular answer. How can the Lord control the false ego? Actually, you have to. You can't say, okay, Krishna, okay, Lord Shiva, okay, Lord Sankarshan, when you're ready to control my false ego, go ahead. Until then, I'm just going to keep on, you know, my little tirade here in the material world. I'm going to keep on with my little mad tirade here. You know, I'm the greatest. And when you're ready to bring my false ego under control, then go ahead. Now, you have to bring your false ego under control. And Krishna will help you. Lord Shiva will help you. Lord Sankarshan will help you. When you are ready to give up your false ego, and the spiritual master will help you, all the acharyas will help you, all the devotees will help you. If you're serious to give up your false ego, which means you have to reaffirm your true ego, Jivara Sarupa Hai Krishnara Nitya Das. When you're ready to do that, you'll get all help from Guru and Vaishnavas. Even the demigods will help you. Often it is spoken that it's better to reduce sense gratification rather than cut it off altogether, as this would be artificial and will eventually lose taste for sense gratification while chanting Hare Krishna. Is there any truth to this? Yes and no. It depends on what you mean. We don't give up sense gratification completely, just like Prabhupada compares it to salt. If you put in too much or too little, it's not good, in the right amount. So we require some sense gratification. We don't say you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't mate, and you can't defend. We never say that. But we say you should only do what is favorable for awakening your Krishna consciousness. You should only eat as much as is favorable for awakening your Krishna consciousness. You should only have sex as much as is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. You should only sleep as much as is favorable, and you can only defend as much as is favorable. So we don't give it up. We don't say to give it up altogether. But if you say, well, I'm not really ready to follow the regulated principles, I think that would be artificial for me. So, you know, I'm just going to have a hamburger, you know, once a week instead of, you know, I'm just going to have illicit sex once a week. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. If you want to actually become solidly situated in the pathway back to Godhead, you have to follow strictly the regulated principle. Now, if you can't do that yet, all right, then do it gradually. You see, but when you get initiated, you have to be committed, fully committed to strictly following these principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And without initiation, without making that vow, you're not going to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Unless you make that vow to give up these sense gratificatory activities, completely give them up, you're not going to get out of the cycle of birth and death. I guarantee you, you will not get out. So don't plan on maintaining sinful activities and going back to God. It will not happen, period. Okay? How can we give up crooked and duplicitous nature by becoming a sadhu? Associate with sadhus and become a sadhu. Instead of being duplicitous and just be straightforward, be honest. How to fully realize that I am not the body? I hear it philosophically, but I don't always remember. Is it practice? Yes, you have to practice it. How to realize and remember it every moment. Well, there's a lot of questions here which I'll kind of, you know, how to become serious. These things all converge into one thing. But Prabhupada gives a very nice list from Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion. All of these sort of questions and how to realize I'm not my body, how to become serious, how to become fixed up, these are all answered by the first 10 items, especially for the foundation of a devotional life. These 10 items are given in the Nectar Devotion, Chapter 6, how to discharge devotional service. If you will take these 10 items very seriously, then you'll have a very solid foundation. The first thing is you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first step given by Rupa Goswami. The second step is you have to get initiated. The third step is, what do you do after initiation? You have to obey your spiritual master. Not that it's just some ritual. No, now you're under his instructions. You're under his order. That's the third step. And the fourth is to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharya. So the spiritual master, he's not teaching you just to follow him. No, he's actually teaching you how to follow his spiritual master. And in other words, in ISKCON, he's teaching you how to follow Prabhupada. You see, if he's not doing that, he's not a bona fide spiritual master. He's not just saying, okay, follow me. Forget about anyone else, just follow me. Then he's bogus. You should immediately give up such a bogus guru. The genuine spiritual master, the fourth item is he teaches you how to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And that's all done by taking Prabhupada's books and dedicating your whole life to following these books. You see. That's what a bona fide guru teaches you to do. He teaches you how to be completely, totally dedicated to Prabhupada. That's a bona fide spiritual master. And that's the fourth item. The fifth item is then you inquire from the spiritual master how you can perfectly serve Prabhupada's instructions. You see, that's the fifth item. The fifth item, and then the sixth item is to be prepared to give up anything material, to give up anything for the Lord's service, or to accept anything in the Lord's service that they may not like to accept. The seventh item is to reside in a holy place. Like this temple here, if you can. If you can't, then you are Vrindavan, or you make your home like a temple. If you can't live here for some reason, you're not able to live here in this ashram, then you should make your home as an ashram. That's the seventh item. And then the eighth item is to deal with the material world only insofar as is necessary. You have to earn a living, you have to go to the dentist, whatever it may be, but only deal with the material world insofar as necessary and nothing beyond them. The rest of your time you should be absorbed in the family of devotees, in Krishna conscious activities. You see, the rest of your time, just minimize your dealing with the material world as far as you possibly can. That's the seventh item for the year. Oh, that's the eighth. The ninth item is to observe Ekadashi. And that means, strictly speaking, no grains or beans. Everyone must do them. Now, of course, the real of the Papa told us in Dallas, the actual real meaning of Ekadasi is not eating anything and not drinking any water and not sleeping. Every Ekadasi is supposed to be nirjal if you want to strictly follow. But Papa never told us we had to even do nirjal on nirjal, actually. He never told us to do nirjal on nirjal Ekadasi. He only told us no grains, no beans. And when I joined ISKCON, Ekadasi meant feast. We had a feast on Ekadasi. Fried peanuts, carrot halva, and some kind of potato prep. Real, you know, fancy potato prep. That was Ekadasi. Oh, we have a feast, Prabhu's. It's Ekadasi that they're having a feast today. Kijai. That's how Papa introduced Ekadasi. So no grains and no beans. And if you want to go higher, you can do that. I personally enjoy nirjal. In the beginning it was torture, but now I actually enjoy it. At least maybe for most of it. I mean, near the end it gets a little tough. It seems to get easier every year. That's one thing. It seems to get easier and easier every year. Every time I do it, it gets easier. So I like it. Kind of nice. What I really like is that break fast. There's a
breakfast, my wife makes the milk and water combined, I think. Yeah. 50-50 milk and water with some honey in it or something, sugar. It's really, really sublime. That breakfast, huh? That Nirjal Akadasi breakfast is like, wow, spring nectar. So, yeah, if people do the final item of the 10, the first 10, is to worship the banyan tree or the tulsi tree. If you don't have a banyan in your yard, then you can at least have a tulsi. Although even we had a banyan in our yard, and we still worship tulsi because that's more important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. In our Miami temple, we had many banyan trees in the yard. And I asked Prabhupada at that time, how do we worship the banyan? Because it's mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada said, with incense, flour, and water. He gave the answer. Incense, flour, and water. But still, we just went on worshiping tulsi. It was like an academic question. Not we actually started worshiping the banyan. Because the main thing for us, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is worshiping tulsi. And anyone can do that in your home. So if you'll do these 10 items very seriously, you see, then you'll become a fixed-up devotee. And you'll become very solidly situated on the pathway back to Godhead. If you can't remember the list, go to the Nectar Devotion, Chapter 6, How to Discharge Devotional Service, and you'll see the first 10 items there. And see that you're following them. And then when you got those solid, there's 64 items altogether, but those 10 are the most important. What is the main consideration from chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly? The first offense is the main one, which is not to be offensive to our devotees. Because Krishna clearly states in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakshas te jana, mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta matamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, na me bhaktas. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be properly situated? Cannot offend Vaishnavas. You cannot offend Vaishnavas. And if you do, you have to humbly beg forgiveness, not as on the lips, but from the heart. You see, you cannot offend Vaishnavas. Because if you do, he can never connect with a name. Krishna is his name. If you're not connected with the devotees, you can never, ever connect with Krishna's name. Never. Even for millions of lifetimes, if you're not connecting with Vaishnavas, you can never connect with Krishna. You never connect with them. It'll just be, you know, there'll be some wall, the Vaishnava Aparad wall between you and Krishna. You have to be free from Vaishnava Aparad. Who is Maya? Who created it? No, it's not it. Maya is a person. Maya Devis. She has a duty. She's also known as Durga. She has a duty. She's the warden of the prison of this material existence. She has a duty to help the prisoners become rectified from their criminal mentality, to get them serious about getting out of this criminal mentality, I'm the Lord. And how does she do that? She has a trident, and she jabs you with her trident. And a trident means it has three prongs. And those three prongs are Adi Atmic, Adi Bhautik, and Adi Daivik miseries. Durga Devi inflicts you with the material miseries to make you come, or help you come to your senses. Why am I here in this miserable place? Doesn't make sense. Is there some other place besides this? This doesn't seem right. I want to be happy all the time, but I'm suffering all the time. She's there to help you, to awaken yourself to your Krishna consciousness. And when you become serious, then she gives you all facility and helps you to go back to Godhead. Okay, we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, and Brahma created the material world. If Durga Devi is controller of the material nature, should we not worship Durga Devi? Durga Devi is a
pure devotee of Krishna. And what she wants to see is that you devote yourself to Krishna. So if you want to please Durga Devi, then you surrender to Krishna. Srishti stati palaya saddana shaktareka shayeva yasya vivananni vivarti durga icham narupam api yasya chate state sa govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Let's see, no, it starts this way. The external potency, Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So Lord Brahma explains in the Brahma Samhita that Durga Devi is simply acting in the terms of the will of Krishna. She's not an independent agent. She's simply a servant of Krishna. So all you have to do to please the devotees of Krishna is become Krishna conscious. People who worship Durga separately, they're trying to flatter her to get some deal with her. But that all you may do that, but you stay within the prison. You want to get out of the prison, you should do what Durga Devi really wants you to do, and that's to surrender to Krishna. That's what she really wants. You want to please Durga Devi in the best way, then surrender to Krishna. Why ISKCON did not recommend the worship of Buddha, as he was also the incarnation of Krishna? We do worship Buddha, what do you mean? We have that song. Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare. We do worship Buddha. And the reason we sing the Dasavatar Stotra, we are worshiping Buddha. Who says we don't worship Buddha? That's not correct. You've known that song, Dasavatar Stotra. Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare. We worship him as Krishna in the Dasavatar Stotra. Part of our bona fide songs that we can sing. We can worship Buddha in that song. But to worship him is the Buddhists worship him, no. That we do not do. Because they don't realize that he's God, and they take Buddha as a stepping stone into the void, which doesn't really exist. There is no such thing as void. The Buddhists talk about nirvana, to merge into the void, but actually they don't know what, there is no such thing as void. The actual nirvana is, you know, the word nirvana is also given in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talks about nirvana. He says, nirvanam paramam, or paramam nirvanam, forget which. The supreme nirvana, you see, is to take shelter of Krishna. So if you want to achieve nirvana, do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. That is the best worship of Buddha. By chanting Hare Krishna, you're doing the best worship of Lord Buddha. So we're worshiping Buddha every morning. We chant our rounds. Every day we worship Lord Buddha. Better than the Buddhists worship Lord Buddha. So questions have run out, and the time has almost run out too. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Please take it very, very seriously and take it all the way to the conclusion, becoming Paramahamsa, pure devotees of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada wants us to do. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His right, Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Dakari ki
jai.
Good rights, Vishnu Prayamanaji ki
jai.